following audio is a podcast from Leader Breakthrough, an organization committed to coaching and resourcing the personal development of risk-taking kingdom leaders. For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.
Welcome to the Leader Breakthrough podcast. I'm Patrick, and today we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. We have the privilege of having a special guest with us, and Terry's going to intro our guest and take it away.
Yeah, it's good to have you again on the Leader Breakthrough podcast. And we got a special friend in with us today. He's a buddy of mine that I've known for probably the last about 15 years. But we intersected along this pathway of this topic called transitions. Many of you may know, some of you may not, that we've actually put together three books to help people navigate the three core strategic transitions. There's awakening, which typically happens in the 20s to late 30s, where somebody is working on direction and calling. There's deciding, which is the transition that happens in the mid-game when somebody's starting to identify their unique contribution and actually make some choices. And then there's the finishing transition. And the finishing transition is all about finishing well. It's all about people moving into a time of convergence, but it typically is the transition that can happen in the 60s, even into the early 70s. And when Robert and I met, we actually spent some time together kind of better understanding what was going on with these boomers who were aging and how are they all of a sudden starting to decide to just retire as opposed to push to the tape and finish well. So I want to give him a chance first to quickly introduce himself. My friend Robert Grant is with us today. And Robert is actually not only a good friend, but he's actually somebody that has been involved in doing a lot of coaching in these last few years as he's helped people continue to understand how God has shaped them and what it is that God wants to do in their life and even help them finish well. So all that, Robert, how about a quick intro of who you are, where you are, and just a little bit of how in the world you got to this place and sitting on a podcast right now. Go for it.
Terry, it was in my early 20s when I was in the Air Force in Europe that I had a defining encounter with a person of Jesus Christ. Hmm. That was my awakening. Wow. That was the experience of awakening for me. And it's where I knew that God had called me into ministry and called me to serve his people. And so now, 53 years later, since my ordination.
Whoa. 53 years. Come on.
Of being a leader, a church planter, a pastor, and a leader of leaders. Hmm. And so I've had a long run at it, but I'm at that season of life right now where at approaching 78 in May, I don't feel like I'm nearly done yet.
Atta baby.
And yet there's a lot of people that look at me like, dude, you're retired, right? I said, hey, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in retirement. It's not in the Bible. Right. I'm in unknown territory. I feel like I'm navigating uncharted waters as I seek to live out these finishing years of my life.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, that's where we kind of met each other, because there was a restlessness inside of Robert in terms of that very issue. And I actually totally agree with him. The retirement issue is not something that is for this life. It's when we go all the way home, but I actually don't even believe we're going to be retired there. The bottom line, though, is golf, fishing a little bit, great, but that can't be the purpose of the end. In fact, both Robert and I have totally kind of subscribed to this whole paradigm of leadership development, that it's lifelong. And that as we hit the stage he's in right now, the bottom line is the push now is to the tape, like Paul, to kind of lay the stuff down and now push to finish well and finish the journey God has for us. So one of the
Terry, I carry around a little aphorism that I remind myself of all the time, and that is, developing other people's gifts is the greatest gift of all. And that now is the compelling motivation in my life, is helping other people to succeed. That's where I get the greatest satisfaction.
And that kind of talk is talk that's related to the issue of convergence. How do I take what I have, put it in other people's hands so that they can do it better? And that's what the end game is supposed to look like. That's the challenge for each one of us, not just those who are in vocational ministry. It's marketplace, it's chaplains, it's registered nurses, it's homemakers, it's whatever. How do we take what God has given us, steward it into other people's hands so they do it better? But Robert, let me throw an initial question out there in terms of what you're seeing now as this baby boomer generation has turned the corner, and the need that's out there. Because what we're going to do is actually do this as a two-part podcast. We're going to hear Robert's unique personal journey with the finishing transition in our second podcast. But in this one, let's just first identify the need that we see out there with individuals who are kind of at this stage of 60 to 70 and what they're feeling out there. What stands out to you as you actually and I started to think about the writing of this book? Go for it. What did you hear?
Several things. One, the cultural mandate to retire at 65, wherever that came from. There are statistics about all that. But then people who moved into that category, the challenge for them to really believe that the best contribution that they have is yet in front of them. Hmm. It's not behind them. Secondly, they don't see how to get there from here. Right. Even if they accept the fact that, you know what, I got a lot to give, I have a lot to offer, but it doesn't seem to be an audience. There doesn't seem to be a demand for it. Hmm. So how do I get into that? So that's a challenge. And then the challenge of, what do you do when people are looking at you like you're done, thinking you're done, thinking you're retired, and that you're off the scene? I like the term on the bench.
Right.
You're off the field. What do you do when those things come at you? That's what my challenge was.
Yeah, and you find that with a lot of different people. Even though the scenario may play out different, the loss of position, the loss of title, the loss of identity that comes to that, especially with males, it's male and female, but especially men, that loss of identity in that people now look at me and I don't have a position, I don't have the title anymore, that creates a ton of uncertainty. And actually, I think, starts to challenge the fact of, is our identity in our position, or is our identity in who God has made us to be? And it's one of the things we kind of deal with in the book. Where is that identity, and can you have influence without position?
And Terry, if I could say that right there is, I think, the biggest challenge that men in particular face, is that they have more identity drawn from what they do than what they realize.
Right.
And until they hit this point, they won't begin to realize how much they are living life from the horizontal perspective and how people view their job and title and what they do.
Right, right. And, you know, one of the key topics we cover in there is that leadership is influence, not position. So that's one of the things we go after in the book. Another thing we kind of have to actually break sometimes is this idea that you shared earlier on, that the end game can be more productive than even the earlier stages of the game. And we talk about convergence. And convergence really can be seen very simply as the collision of being and doing. And oftentimes that identity issue has been sourced in the doing, and we actually fail to recognize that we have something to offer just by very nature of who we are. And in the book, we talk about the fact of spiritual authority, people being able to lead out of who they are, not just what they do. And that seems to be one of the paradigm shifts that people got to make as they enter into or face this transition?
And Terry, this is where coaching comes in as such a critical component. Yep. I have to acknowledge that because until you can begin to objectively see the values that are most important to you and you drill down deep on those, until you can begin to recognize the gifts that you have, both spiritually and natural gifting,
right,
and have someone to help you see how all of those are coming together. Unless you've got somebody to help you see that,
right,
you tend to remain in a fog or a muddle, and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's next. A good coach will help you sort those things out, see them clearly,
right,
and come to the place of saying, you know what, my best contribution is out in front of me, even if I can't see specifically what it is right now.
And the word I use for that is resilience. Instead of becoming resigned to what you think the culture story is, you become resilient and be able to actually begin to see new purpose in this final stage of the journey itself. You know, one of the things also that we talked about in our book itself is we apply the transition life cycle to this finishing transition. Remember, there's four major stages. There's entry, evaluation, there's alignment, and then there's direction. And you know, it might be really good, Bob, for you to actually just give us a quick snapshot, even though in the next podcast you're going to share more of your personal story. But what it is that somebody feels, and how would they even know maybe that they're in this transition? What is it that actually causes somebody to begin to recognize that, you know what, this isn't just kind of a wandering or wanting more purpose. I'm actually engaged now in a significant moment in my life where God is actually trying to get my attention. What are some of the characteristics of a finishing transition as it begins?
For me personally, I found myself dealing with certain experiences, disconnect, dislocation, a sense of being out of focus, especially people looking past me to a younger generation,
right,
for answers that I was much better equipped to offer. And so I had to deal with those unsettling things that let me know that I was in some kind of a major change.
Right, right.
Keep
going, yep.
Yeah, but then this is where another statement about coaching. You use the term, I first learned it from you, we don't get to clarity alone.
Right.
Is that I could not subjectively be involved in what I was doing and sort it out and make sense out of it without someone engaging me,
right, right,
and helping me to see clearly that what I was experiencing, what I was going through, was not unique to me,
right,
and that there was nothing wrong with me,
right,
that I actually wasn't going crazy, and that actually what was going on was interpreted to me in such a way that said, this is really a good thing, and I'm glad I am where
right.
I am, and I'm going somewhere, and I can see it on the horizon.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing with any transition. But interesting enough, I think that's actually one of the big factors in the finishing transition, that this thing has a name, that the period of time that I'm in right now isn't just actually kind of a wandering off or a time when all of a sudden now we let the younger do it. No, this is a time of evaluation. This is a time of collecting up the things God's deposited. You know, we say in a transition, you're well into a transition before you even recognize it. That's why the entry phase in a transition is often not the time that somebody wakes up. It's actually when, as they start moving into, okay, I've tried everything I can. I don't know what's next. What is next? God, what are you at work doing? And that kind of jolt starts moving them into a time of evaluation. So we talk about, yeah, hang on just a second. We talk about in the book that sense of isolation and even that struggle that an individual has that I can't figure this thing out. Yeah, go for it, Robert.
Terry, finishing is not winding down.
Exactly.
It's not wrapping it up. Finishing is the bringing together of the best that God has put in your life, the best of your wisdom, the best of your experience, the best of your gifts, to have the best impact and the most influence that you ever had in your whole life.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that we capture it with is that very line, finishing doesn't mean finished. So let's cover one other key thing that happens or we talk about in the book itself, Robert, and that's the fact that, you know, men and women sometimes will go through this differently, but it really takes kind of a resolve to believe that, you know what, God is actually now giving to me a purpose at the end game. So when someone goes through the finishing transition, what is the hope that actually helps them make it to the end of that transition? What is it that you banked on? What is it that individuals that we've been working with and coaching through this transition need to make sure they recognize that this is a different period, but there's hope at the end of working through this transition? Because I believe hope and courage are tied together. When people lose hope, they lose courage. So what gave you hope as you were walking through this? And what is it that we can tell people that knowing about it, having a coach, understanding the strategic transition gives to a journey into a person at the end game?
Terry, you and a few others at key points in my life conveyed to me clearly that they believed in me and they believed in my future and they could see how much I could impact others in the years to come. So having others who believe in you is important. Having, for me, a coach is essential to help you understand yourself and believe in what God is doing in you
right.
is also very critical.
Right.
I like the term I borrowed from Friedrichs that says, he says, a non-anxious presence. I like the term God-defined non-anxious presence, where you understand and know who you are, and the people that are around you believe in you,
and
you have the affirming sense of the Spirit of God in your life that your best contribution is out in front of you, that your future is going to be so bright you're going to need sunglasses.
Well, what we've done in part one of this two-part series is just to try to give you kind of a pre-taste of some of the things that we talk about in the book, Finishing. It could be that you are in this transition. It could be even as you hear this podcast, you begin to realize, oh my goodness, the things I'm facing right now as I butt up against this thing, this cultural thing called retirement, either I've entered it or I'm headed into it. Maybe there's more going on than I thought. Well, if that's you, we want you to actually recognize there is hope. And part of the reason we pen down much of what we put in the book itself is to give you new language, new hooks and handles by which to put some of the things you're experiencing into a new paradigm, that God is at work and he is at the end doing a work that's even greater than you could imagine. So the finishing transition is real, and it's part of the journey to being able to finish well and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Thanks for joining us today on the Leader Breakthrough Podcast, where we help you get from where you are to where you need to go. Remember to check out our resources on leaderbreakthrough.com, and don't go too far because part two is right behind this. See you later.
For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.